Genesis chapter 11, and for the next foreseeable future, we'll be looking at the story of Abraham in the story of God. He is a foundational character in the Bible. You know the song, Father Abraham? Yeah, kids, I don't know it either. But, yeah, as ever, when there's an action song, the adults just love doing it, and the kids kind of go, "What's going on?"
You should sing in your generation.
No, no.
So anyway, Father Abraham, we'll be looking at him over the next few weeks. But we're going to start in Genesis chapter 11. And today I want to talk really about what I might describe as the shape of the gospel, which you find in Abraham's story, but you find in a number of other stories in the scriptures. And hopefully that will become clear by the end. Okay? So we're going to read Genesis chapter 11, just the first four verses, which say this. Now the whole world had one language and common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." So, this is a few generations on now, quite a few generations on from Adam and all the creation stories that we were reading a while back. And you have a group of people, in fact, and they're wanting to build a city. And that city is the beginning of what we know as Babylon. And you'll find that Babylon features a lot in the scriptures. In fact, actually, the Bible is in many ways a tale of two cities. Is it Dickens who wrote Tale of Two Cities? Yeah. I'm looking at the. I don't know. I've never read this stuff, so I don't know what the storyline is behind Dickens' story. Maybe it follows this. But there are two cities. There's Babylon and there's Jerusalem. And in Babylon, you find you've got really the kingdom of the earth. Jerusalem is the kingdom of heaven. In Babylon, you have man in charge. And in Jerusalem, you have God in charge. In Babylon, you have people trying to make a name for themselves, as we just read. And in Jerusalem, it's God who makes people's names great. In Babylon, it is like the kingdom of earth trying to reach up to heaven. They're building a tower to reach up. But Jerusalem is about the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. So there are two very contrasting cities. And we'll probably track that as we go through. If you read through the scriptures, you'll see this kind of theme comes up a few times. And so you've got these people and they're building a tower upwards. They're stretching out. They're reaching up. They're realizing that they don't want to just be here. They want to be growing upwards and they want to make a name for themselves. They want to make a name for themselves. Now, there's a drive in all of us, if we're honest. There's a drive in all of us that we want to make a name for ourselves. You may not think that, but if you search deep down, you probably realize. I mean, we live in a culture where fame and fortune, it's a big thing, isn't it? We all want to be, not necessarily all of us, but there's a great desire to be famous. And so you have people that become YouTube sensations, influencers, just to be well known. And you may think, that's not really me. I'm looking around the room. As far as I know, none of you are that famous. Not as famous as me, anyway. I was compared to a rock star the other day. I compared myself to a rock star. You can say these things. If people don't know the context, you can say all kinds of things. I was compared to a rock star in my own head. Now, you may not be on that level, but if we're honest, there's a certain part of us that wants to be popular to some degree, right? I mean, nobody really enters the room wanting to be hated. Yeah? You don't sort of... Sometimes we feel that, don't we? We go into a room and we do feel that. But nobody enters the room wanting to be that. I mean, we would rather be liked, popular, in that... Well, at least accepted, right? Accepted. We put it down to that. We strive for that, to be accepted. In another way, maybe... We feel as though we want to achieve something. You know, we have a short time on this earth in the big scheme of things. You think, well, I want to at least make something of this life. You know, I want to achieve something, and it might be for young ones, you're striving for exams. For those of us that have a job, maybe you're trying to get up the pecking order in the job, and there's some kind of status involved in there. And you may think, well, I'm not really into that. I'm not really a career person or a high achiever or whatever, but at least we're all trying to find some kind of worth in our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And the way we go about that oftentimes is we try and earn our position, or we try and pay for things. But I've found actually it's often very difficult to give people something for free. You find, you ask Reg or Paul at the food bank on a Friday, often you're giving stuff and people are feeling like they have to do something in return, even in some way. Do you know what I mean? It's just something inbuilt in us where we feel as though, oh, it's just not right for me to just be given this stuff. I need to earn it in some way. In fact, actually, that's a lot of the way religion works, is that we try and earn favour with God. That's, I'm talking not necessarily... Obviously, Christianity, we'll come on to that, but that's a lot of how the religions of the world work. It's like, I need to earn my way up into God's good books. Yeah? There's a drive in all of us to do that kind of thing. We want to build upwards, we want to make a name for ourselves. And the shape of that, if you give it a sort of a direction or a shape, it's kind of like us trying to strain up. Yeah? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn over the page, or maybe it's still on the same page. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll find Abraham, or as he's known to start with, Abram. It's the same dude, okay? If I say Abraham when it's written Abram here, or the other way around, I'm talking about the same person. His name gets changed later on, but he's Abraham here. Abram, rather. Did I see? I've done it already. Yeah? Abram. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Now, here's Abraham. And God speaks to him in the midst of that setting of what I've just spoken about there in Genesis 11. That's the culture from which he's in, all right? And God says to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your family, and go to a land I'll show you. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a particularly great invitation. Yeah? It's not very well marketed. Go to a land I will show you. Where is that? Not quite sure. Think it through. God is asking Abraham to leave everything that is familiar, everything where he gets his security from. He's being asked to leave his heritage, all the relationships he has. Imagine, Middle Eastern culture, if you know anything about it, it's very, very relational. Everybody's an auntie and uncle, you know. I don't know if another question, in Hong Kong, where my dad's from, everybody's called auntie, you know. You remember, I'm like, I are we related? No, not related, but they're an auntie. You know, it's kind of, well, and but in fact, my dad would always find some very tenuous relational link where, like, 20 decades ago, 20 generations ago, rather, there was somebody who was there, anyway. But so Abraham was being asked to leave all of that. Being asked to leave would mean he would lose his identity, really, because identity is formed within the place we live, right? His community, his status, his support structure, everything. Maybe even his understanding, because when you're in a place, you understand how everything works, don't you? And then people also kind of, they get to know and understand how you work, even if it's a bit odd. Like, you might compare yourself to a rock star, and they might kind of go, yeah, okay, whatever, if you want to compare yourself to a rock star, that's fine, that's just the way you are. But we understand you, yeah? So you leave all of that. Nothing works, you know, everything works differently. Anyway, imagine leaving all of that. I mean, what if you had to leave now, if God said to you, and by the way, I don't think this is what God's saying to all of you, because otherwise I won't have anyone to preach to next week. But let's imagine this. God says, just leave, go up and leave. Start thinking, what would you miss? What would you fear? What would you find hard? A whole load of stuff. There's a whole load of things there too, if you think it through. And even for people who, you meet a lot of people, I just want a new start. It's a new beginning of the new year, right? I want a new start in life. I just want to leave all the old behind. People who say that, yes, I know they do mean that, but they still find it very difficult to leave stuff behind. Yeah? And God says, okay, leave that all that behind. Okay, fair enough. And go to a land I will show you, which is so vague. It makes me even sound clear when I have my sort of ideas. You know, this is just a really vague idea. Really vague. Imagine that. Just go. And imagine Abraham's parents go, where are you off to, Abraham? And he goes, why? And imagine parents here, the kids, you know. Imagine Josh, rather than go to university, he said to Chris and Emma, well, I'm just off. Where are you off to? Just, well, somewhere. Yeah? I'm not going to university or anything with a direction and a course and something. I'm just going to head off down the road and see where it goes. And we're just thinking, oh my goodness. Probably thinking, what a loser. See you maybe in 5 years' time. It'll be the prodigal son has to come back with his tail between his legs and asking Chris for payday. You know, it's kind of... It's just... You wouldn't do that, right? Or maybe you would. I mean, maybe that's how you've ended up here. I don't know.
No.
Okay. Thank you. It's odd. It's odd. We know where Josh is. He's all right. He's okay. So this is quite significant. It's a real. It's more than a new start. I mean, this is Abraham leaving everything. It's kind of like emptying out his life and just sort of saying, "I'm leaving all that behind." And it takes real faith. And this is something you'll find with Abraham. He's a man of faith. Faith to sort of say, I've heard God, and he says, leave that and go somewhere. Go somewhere. Now, within that step of faith, God makes some commitments. He says, well, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So that's some promise. So maybe actually it's not quite as vague as you might imagine, but it's... Anyway. He says, I'll make you a great nation. Remember, Abraham is a childless man. Has a wife, no children. That bit of the story continues for quite some time. But God says to him, I'll make you a great nation. Now, if that was me, I'd be like, yeah, right, okay. We'll give it a go. That sounds a bit tenuous. And we'll come to that later on, because Abraham becomes the great father. The great father of Father Abraham, right? The song, don't have to sing it again, please. But, you know, that's who Abraham becomes. God says, I'll bless you. Now, just want to spend a little bit of time thinking about blessing, okay? When we think about the word bless, oh, bless you. You might think, oh, that's something we say when someone sneezes. At you. Bless you. Okay. A little bit trying. Or the even worse, you know, if you do this, don't, I'm not getting at you, but if this is kind of maybe just alters the meaning of the words slightly. But you know, when somebody does something a bit cute and you go, oh, bless. Yeah? It's a bit patronising, really. So what it means is, like, they're just a bit cute, and that was a bit kind of, okay, oh, bless. Yeah? But that's not really the understanding and the meaning of the word here when God says, I'm going to bless you. He doesn't sort of look at Abraham and think, oh, poor thing, oh, bless. He's wandering off to nowhere. What a fool. Oh, bless. Okay? He's not saying that. When God blesses, there's something active and powerful that happens. When God blesses, it's there are words that actually start to shape the future for Abraham. And it speaks of all God will do through and in Abraham. And there's a powerful thing when God blesses. I'd say it's almost like something like, you know, like an anointing, or when kings and queens are given a sort of a commission, when the coronation, that kind of thing. There's a powerful impartation that happens when someone is blessed. It's more than just a word. I've experienced it. There's been one or two times in my life where someone has prayed a blessing over me, and it's almost like something has just kind of been rearranged in my spirit. I might have told this story before, but there's a guy. A lot of this teaching comes from a chap called Philip Greenslade, which I've learned a lot from. And I've met him numerous times, and I was just chatting with him over a lunch at a pastor's meeting at Guildford Baptist Church quite a long time ago now. And we were just chatting, and he always asks, how's the ministry going? You know, and he'll ask about the church and how I'm doing and all that kind of thing. And we're just chatting, and over a plate of sandwiches, like standing up like this, sandwiches, and you know, that kind of slightly awkward, how do you hold your sandwiches and you drink at the same time and still have a conversation and all that kind of thing. And then he just put his drink down and put his hand on my shoulder, just as we're just chatting, and he just starts to pray a blessing from Numbers chapter 6, if you know that blessing. He just prayed that. And it's just like something kind of like went in me. I can't explain it. And there was something in that. It's just like, and then he just carried on, by the way, he just then sort of just carried on chatting about whatever. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what you're saying now, because something really powerful has just happened. Something really powerful has happened. That's the kind of blessing when God blesses. And if you think back, right at the start of humanity in the story, Adam was blessed at the beginning of humanity. God blesses Adam. Noah, at the beginning of the new humanity, he was blessed. And so Abraham, here, the beginning is something new. God is blessing him. It's powerful. And if you look at the word Hebrew, the Hebrew word for blessing, I think it's barak. I didn't look it up. I know the meaning of it. I don't know what the word is. There's a connection between the blessing and kneeling. You know, when we sang some songs today, bless the Lord, O my soul. What that usually means, in worship, this is, bless the Lord, O my soul. That makes sense, right? I'm bowing, I'm blessing the Lord with my worship because I'm kneeling. Yeah? That makes sense that way around, right? How powerful it is. There's some kind of connection between the blessing that God gives us and his coming down to us. He kneels, in a sense. There's something, it's difficult to really quantify, but God comes and he bends down to us. Comes down to our level and imparts something of himself to us. So then you can see that could be quite powerful, right? So anyway, God says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. Now, if you contrast that to the guys who are building a tower to make a name for themselves, they're like, hey, I'm going to be the big cheese. I'm going to be a rock star. I'm building a tower. God says to Abraham, you leave everything behind. Leave everything. Empty your life. Just start going in the direction I'll show you. And I'll make your name great. I'll do that. Not you, I'll do that. And as we see through the story, God exalts the humble. He exalts the humble, the obedient, the faithful. He's not that interested in people trying to make a name for themselves. And then he says, you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you, and all peoples will be blessed through you. There's a lot of blessing going along in this. Do you notice? A lot of blessing. So Abraham is going to be the channel through which blessing to where? To the all people is going to come from. So, to finish off, let's just look at the shape of what's going on. I talked about the shape of the gospel. If you look at the shape of the story of Abraham, you'll see that the way God works is not people striving upwards. It's not about people making a name for themselves. It's not about people trying to get up on the ladder somehow, which is, like I said, that's how most religions work. Okay, most religions work by saying you do stuff, whether it's religious stuff, prayer and fasting and some things, or you do good works, and you will get yourself a little bit further up the ladder, and hopefully at the end of the day you've got enough brownie God points to say, brownie points are, I don't know what if that translates, but you know, that's kind of, brownie points are kind of good marks. Enough brownie points in God's eyes to say, right, you're okay for the afterlife, and you'll make it. That's how most religions work. In fact, actually, it's most how most people work. Because like I say, people don't. They like to try and get up, one up on the next person, and one up on the ladder. But if you look at the shape, that's not how God works. If you look at the shape here, the shape really at the beginning is downwards. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Empty yourself. Leave everything behind. And even in that downward action, God then comes to Abraham. He kneels to him. Kneels down and blesses him. And God says, I'm going to make your name great, Abraham. You don't do that. I'm going to do that. This is going to be God's work, not Abraham's work. And in that, Abraham is elevated to be one through whom all peoples on the earth are going to be blessed. So the shape is this. It's of a man emptying himself and God reaching down and exalting and blessing and making his name great. Now that shape you will find throughout the scriptures. Obviously, Sunday school answer, Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But think about Joseph. Who was the favoured son. Ends up rock bottom. But then elevated and used by God. Think about Moses. Adopted Pharaoh's son. Ends up in exile. Ends up saving the whole of Israel out of Egypt. Think of David. Lowly little shepherd boy. Elevated by God. Think of Daniel. Think of Paul. Account all things loss. Because he was like the big cheese. He left it all behind. Let me read Philippians 2 to you. This is the shape of the gospel. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. See, Jesus left his country behind. He left his family and his people behind. And he emptied himself and came to earth. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, that's the land that God led Jesus to. The Father led Jesus to. The land which ended up in the cross. Jesus didn't come to make a name for himself. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here's the blessing for all people. The Father has made his name great. Has made Jesus' name great. And so we are to have the same mindset, says in Philippians. To have the same mindset, have the same shape. Follow the same shape as Abraham. Follow the same shape as Christ. You know, Jesus said, whoever wants to gain their life, they must lose it. Yeah? But whoever loses their life for me will find it. It's the same shape. Do you see the same, what I'm talking about here? And so really, coming back to these two cities, you've got Babylon and you've got, let's call it the New Jerusalem. The question is, which city do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of a city and a system where people are trying to make a name for themselves, some temporary fame, temporary acceptance, temporary kind of thing? Or do you want to be part of a city where there's a God-given eternal glory? Eternal glory. Do you want to be part of that? Personally, whilst it's hard, I seek the New Jerusalem. But the pull of the old Babylon is quite hard. It's quite strong. But that's the shape of the way God works. And this is the story of Abraham. We're going to look at more of the story of Abraham. That's how he works in him. So let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the stories of the men of faith, men and women of faith that have gone before us. And we thank you for Abraham and all that you did in his life. We thank you that you are a God who humbles yourself through Christ to come to us. You've bowed down to this world and made yourself nothing to be like us. And in doing so, you are exalted to the highest place. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we pray, give us the courage and the faith to, as Abraham, leave the old behind and seek the new. To leave the striving behind and rely on your grace that comes to us and takes us from where we are and elevates us, that we may be, know that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Give us faith to see these things and a hope in the resurrection of Christ to work these things in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.